From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
What's up? This your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Do we have stuff to talk about today? My goodness, guessing lines right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling and Game Plus. Good morning to you. It is Gil Alexander, producer number 7. Jason Kahn is here. Good morning to you, Jason.
Morning, Gil. How are you?
Oh, what a weekend it was. So not enough time to get in what we want to get in 2 hours talking NFL. So let us, without further ado, bring him in. He's the star of each and every Monday here on a Numbers Game and on the podcast side as well at Beating the Book. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. He's been on the show for, what, 8-9 years now with us? My mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews. Good morning, Chris.
What's going on, Gil? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Let me just start by saying this. Survivor over at Circa, after last week having 42% of entries knocked out, only two entries, not 2%, two entries knocked out this week. And of these 15 games that have been played this week, let me describe six of them ATS-wise as Plinko. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Miami, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Denver, Chicago and the Giants, and Seattle, New England last night. Great game. So 40% of the games come down to Plinko. And if you're one of these guys who are like, hey, but the games I picked weren't Plinko, so I'm smart. Yeah, we'll wait till next week, and your games will be Plinko. Anyway, that's a backdrop of the weekend in the NFL. Let's go through these one by one, Chris, because there's so much to talk about. And for those who are just tuned in for the first time to this show, Guessing Lines, this is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show. We are not the originators of this format. I've been in a cocoon. Chrissy will give me the matchup for this coming week. I will guess what I believe the line to be. He will tell me what he's about to put up here at the South Point Hotel. And within that exercise, we hope to extract value. And let me just say, last week, there were three games in which I felt, oh my God, there's value here. Two of the three came home. So typically, our first reaction here on this show is a good one, and one to perhaps not be swayed by the rest of the week when our brains get in the way. But I like that Atlanta line. I like that Miami line. Both of those worked out. Minnesota, not so much. Give me the first one, Chrissy, for Thursday.
I think I like the same three games, too, by the way.
So. Yes.
Okay. Up first, the Battle of Florida, Miami and Jacksonville.
Oh, that's,
Miami at Jacksonville.
That's the Thursday nighter. Well, that's a barn burner.
Yeah.
Miami, Bills beat them last night, or yesterday, I should say, fourth consecutive time, 31-28. Dolphins do cover. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 31-47, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. Big target yesterday was his tight end, Gesicki. Eight catches for 130 yards and a touchdown. That would have been newsworthy if they lost also. And then Jacksonville. How about the Jacksonville Jaguars, who a mere two games ago, before the season started, we were like, oh, they're tanking for Trevor. Then they beat the Colts outright. And then lose yesterday on a Steven Gostkowski 49-yard field goal with 1:36 left. They lose to the Titans by 3 and had a chance to either tie it or win it late until Minshew had a ball deflected and picked. But Minshew was 30 for 45 after a 19 for 20 performance in the opening game. He was 30 for 45 for 339. Three touchdowns, two picks, sacked twice yesterday. James Robinson, 16 carries for 102 yards and a touchdown. But Jacksonville was 10 of 14 on third downs. They were 1 for 1 on fourth. 480 total yards. Remember, they won when having 200 and something yards of offense, and they lose with 480 yesterday. Miami at Jacksonville. We're not at the point where Jacksonville will be 3-point favorites in a game, right? But Miami certainly doesn't deserve to be favored. I'll just split the difference. I'll say Jacksonville minus 1.5.
Well, personally, I made the game pick 'em. I'm still debating what to do with these home field advantages, and I'm trying to chart it out, and I haven't come to anything conclusive yet. So my numbers came to pick. That's our rate of power rating-wise, both teams equal. It's like 2.5 with juice on the favorite, 3 with juice on the dog, Jacksonville the favorite. I'm going to open at 2.5. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I'm kind of impressed with both teams. Jacksonville, I thought really – I'm with you. I had them rated at the bottom of the pile going into this year. But Minshew has actually been impressive, and so has the rest of the team. You know, I'm scratching my head on them at this point. But you have to go by the results for what you see. That, you know, Robinson ran for 100 yards on 16 carries, too. You know, this team's not bad. So I'm going to go with the 2.5. I have no real beef with that. If it got the 3, though, I think Miami would be a play plus 3.
You know how you usually say you like my number better? I like your pick 'em number better. It's Gil Alexander, Chris Andrews,
okay.
Right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. All right, I have no problem with that. So what was it finally in the end? Minus what?
I'm going to use 2.5. I see, like I said, 2.5 juice on the favorite, 3 juice on the dog. We do everything 11 and 10 at South Point. I'm going to open 2.5. They bet me up to 3, they bet me.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Sunday morning. First of all, how many Sunday morning games do we have compared to afternoon?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Jason tells me 8.
Afternoon games.
8 and 5 next week. 8 morning, 5 afternoon.
Much better mix.
Yeah, much better
mix.
Too many games at once. My God, this past week, 10-3. All right, what's first in the morning?
Well, first up, we got the Raiders at the Patriots.
Raiders at Patriots. So Raiders sight unseen here. Raiders play tonight. Raiders are, let me get the update, about 5.5-point dogs against the Saints tonight.
Yeah.
No Michael Thomas for the Saints. No Trent Brown for the Raiders. I am glad to be sitting out that game. Glad to have nothing to do with that game. The Patriots yesterday lose to the Seahawks. By the way, is there a line for this? Because I want to get into a Patriots rant here for a second.
There's only a couple numbers out with the Patriots playing late last night and the Raiders, of course, not playing until tonight. Only a few scattered numbers out there, so not many. But my power rating is pretty close to what the scattered numbers are.
Okay. Well, I have a few things to say. One, can somebody get Bill Belichick a proper mask? He was fidgeting with that thing all night long. That thing did halfway down his chin, for God's sake. It was just awful. It was so distracting. But the Patriots ended up losing last night to the Seahawks in a dramatic game. Great Sunday night football game. Everything it was hyped up to be. Second-year defensive end L.J. Collier making the play that assured the win. It was actually Delano Hill who took out the fullback, and then Collier made the play on Cam Newton, stuffing him at the one-yard line on the final play. Seahawks beating the Patriots 35-30, just covering on Sunday night. But it was an 80-yard closing drive by New England, the closing moments. They reached the one on a pass to N'Keal Harry with 3 seconds left. Final play, Newton tried to run power to the left, but was upended by Collier, the biggest play of his young career. Collier and Jamal Adams said from the formation it was clear where the Patriots were going with the play. Let me just say this. I've heard a lot of people at the end of this game, and we'll talk about it more when we get to Seattle, but I've heard a lot of people blasting Seattle's 3rd-and-1 play on the previous drive. Like, oh, my God, why would Russell Wilson throw that deep, incomplete, stops the clock? Seattle has won and clinched so many games, big games, doing just that, that for anyone to criticize that now, it's just result-oriented analysis. Because they do that all the time and win and clinch football games. I had a bigger problem, quite frankly, with two other things. One, was it Chris Carson who decided to slide on first down on that sequence for no reason before the 2-minute warning. Like, he could go to the marker and get a first down right before the 2-minute warning. Instead, he decided to slide and put him in 2nd and 4, I believe, the play before the 3rd one. So that was the bigger miscue to me. I had a bigger problem with that than I did with a 3rd and 1 pass from Russell Wilson, which I think is results-oriented analysis that it went incomplete. And then, and let me just say this too, Chrissy, because this goes back to the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Seahawks, which of course famously was punctuated by Malcolm Butler's pick of Russell Wilson at the goal line some years ago. And I always look back at that Super Bowl, and no one can convince me otherwise, that Bill Belichick was saved. His legacy to a large degree was saved by that pick because he let the clock run down and didn't use a timeout. And I remember in real time at the time, I was going, why is he not calling a timeout? What is he doing? And when it ended up being a pick, the narrative after the fact was, oh, what a genius Bill Belichick was for leaving so little time on the clock, you know, like he was getting him frazzled. And I always, to this day, I call BS on that, because it's like, if that was anybody but Bill Belichick, and of course he got saved by it, by Malcolm Butler, but if that was anybody but Belichick, people would be killing him. Last night, I haven't heard one person make this knock about Belichick. From 28 seconds, when there was that pass downfield to Julian Edelman inbounds, when the Patriots were matriculating the ball down the field, there was 28 seconds left when Edelman caught that ball. By the time they had 2 timeouts in their pocket, by the time they ran their next play and it was incomplete, there were only 9 seconds left with 2 timeouts in their pocket. And I haven't heard one person go after Belichick for that. That was a bigger blunder to me than what the Seahawks ever did on 3rd down. Not sure how you feel about that, but that's what got me yesterday.
Oh, I can't. Nobody said anything about that?
I haven't heard one person. Jason, have you heard one person say anything about that? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I haven't heard any.
I haven't heard any.
Yeah.
Wow, I was saying the same thing when I'm sitting here watching the game. And, you know, guess who we needed? And I'm saying, yeah, you got to call time out there. That's ridiculous. They wasted way too much time. You know, that was a bad move by Belichick. He doesn't make too many bad ones, but that was definitely a bad one right there.
Anyway,
I don't know how far we're going to get in. Go ahead.
I was going to say, anyway, for this game, we're just totally sidetracked from the Raiders at New England.
Yeah, and there's barely a line on the game, so go ahead.
I guess we should move on from this. We'll talk more about it when we get to the Seahawks. But I said Patriots, I mean, as a placeholder, right, because we haven't seen the Raiders, and we don't know who's going to be available for the Raiders. But Cam looks good. Let me just say that. So this has to be 6 or more. I said 6 in the end, but it can't be any lower than 6.
Well, it's 6. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
My power rings, again, come to 5, but I don't know what to do with home field. I honestly don't. So I think 6 is a good number to start. By the way, that last yard that Cam didn't get was the most expensive yard in my career, certainly since London Fletcher tackled Mason at the 1 in Super Bowl, whatever the hell, Roman number. It was monstrous. And I mean, we'll get into it a little later, I'm sure. It was a bloodbath for us yesterday. And that would have saved us a bunch.
You don't want to share exactly what a bunch means?
No, because, you know, I don't know why I don't. It's just still in me, because if you had Michael on, he'd tell you exactly what it was, and Jimmy will probably tell you later today, but I'm not going to tell you. Let them tell you.
Okay, we'll go with a bunch here on a numbers game. Oh, the
yeah,
deep dive.
It was a bunch.
Deep dive. Wow, that 1 yard. Because it was interesting, because your buddy Nick Bogdanovich said that the Chiefs' outcome was the biggest swing in any regular season game he's ever had, which I was like, wow, that's interesting. Ever? Really?
That was the 2nd biggest.
Wow. Whoa. So, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Chrissy, but this NFL betting thing is going to catch on one day. One day.
You think so?
One day.
Yeah, I saw.
People are going to figure this out.
The Visa newsletter went out. It was a good day for bettors. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. By the way, Newton, just to be thorough, Cam Newton yesterday, 30 of 44 for 397, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 1 time stat. But he also had 11 carries on the ground for 47 yards, 2 touchdowns. But as Chrissy said, not that last yard or two, which was huge. Julian Edelman, who I mentioned earlier, 8 catches, 179 yards, career high for Julian Edelman. And let me just say, Cam looks way better. Do we have that tweet from Bill Barnwell where all the other people that got signed or got bigger contracts than Cam Newton? Because it's unbelievable. And we were saying this all offseason.
Yeah,
it's incredible. We'll flash that up here. Momentarily. There it is. Andy Dalton. This is from Bill Barnwell. Some of the quarterbacks who signed deals for more guaranteed money than Cam this offseason. Dalton, Gabbert, Hundley, Brett Hundley, McCoy, Driscoll, Daniel, Mariota, Keenum, McCarron, Henny, Schaub, Barkley, and then in caps, Bill decided to put this guy in caps. Nathan Peterman. Good Lord. Okay. All right. I love how he threw caps on Nathan Peterman.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. That was funny.
All right, what's next? I'm sorry to rant.
Rams at the Bills.
Rams at the Bills. Ooh, 2-2-0s, right? Rams at Bills? Yeah. 2-2-0s. The Rams at the Bills. Rams beating the Eagles yesterday by the score of 37-19, one of the non-plinkos. And then Buffalo gets the win but does not cover against Miami. They win that 31-28. All right, let's dive into the stats first, I guess. Goff, 20 of 27, 267, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Sacked once in that game against the Eagles. Henderson, 12 of 81 for a touchdown. Tyler Higbee, 5 catches, but 3 of them for scores. Cam Akers, by the way, this is the biggest theme of the weekend, of course, is injuries. We haven't even gotten to that yet. We will crescendo to the biggest injuries. But Cam Akers, rib injury for the Rams yesterday. Buffalo, Josh Allen, 24 of 35, 417. Career high. 4 touchdown passes. Career high. No picks. 1 time sacked. Of his 36 career touchdown passes, 14 for Josh Allen have come against the Dolphins. Stephon Diggs, 8 for 153 and a touchdown. John Brown, 4 of 82 for a touchdown. 531 total yards of offense for the Bills in front of 11,075 yesterday. Buffalo by 4. Buffalo minus 4. If this is in Buffalo, you said.
Yeah, you're a little high. It's again, 2.5 juice on the favorite, 3 juice on the dog. I like the lower number myself. Again, I have the two teams rated evenly power rating wise, and I'm going to keep saying it probably throughout the show. I'm still not sure what to do with home field advantage. I think it's probably a little bit for the Bills because you got the Rams on the road 2 weeks in a row, and I'm really impressed with what Josh Allen has become. We had a lot of questions about him coming out of the draft, and they were legitimate questions, really. But the kid has gotten a lot better. And, you know, I like to mention QBR. His QBR was 93.3 yesterday. Passer rating of 147. That's pretty close to perfect, especially for a guy that threw the ball 35 times. You know, so I think he really fits this team well, besides being a much better quarterback than we thought even through last season. But that being said, you know, Goff, there was a lot of knocks on him too. And his QBR was actually even a little higher yesterday, 95.9, though his passer rating was slightly less, 142. So he looked really good too. And I think a lot of people, probably myself included to a degree, thought this was going to be a bad year for the Rams. But so far, not so much at all. So I think it's a really, really good game for the morning, one of the best. There's a couple of good ones out there, but this is one of the best of the morning. Two really good teams right now that I think a lot of people expected the Bills to be really good, maybe not Allen being that good, but the Rams probably a little better than we thought coming into this game. I haven't rated equally power rating-wise, but Buffalo's 2.5 makes a lot of sense. That's what I'm going to open.
You said Buffalo minus 2.5. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
2.5 or 3.
Hmm.
You know, juice.
Yeah.
Depending which way you go.
That's going to end up being a game I want no part of, I bet, in the end.
But really?
That's
a game I really want to watch. I can tell you.
No. I want to watch it. I'm not sure I want to bet it, though. That's my point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's contest. But let's try to squeeze in one more.
I get that. Yeah.
Try to squeeze in one more here.
Houston at Pittsburgh.
Houston loses to Baltimore and loses pretty comprehensively. Curious 4th-and-1 by Bill O'Brien at the Houston 34, down 3-0 with 2 seconds left in the first quarter. They're down a field goal. It's 4th-and-1 at their own 34, and they decide to go for it. Of course, they don't get it. 4 plays later, it's 10-0. Please, someone explain. It's just unbelievable. Deshaun, 25 of 36 for 275, one touchdown, one pick. He was sacked four times. Pittsburgh, safety Terrell Edmonds raced in unblocked, took down Denver's backup quarterback, Jeff Driskel, fourth and two at the Pittsburgh 15 with less than 2 minutes to play to preserve their 26-21 victory. Seventh sack of the day, that one was for Pittsburgh. Big Ben, 29 of 41 for 311, two touchdowns, one pick, and a sack. Connor, 16 for 106 and a touchdown on the ground. Deontay Johnson, 8 catches for 92 and a touch. Chase Claypool, a week after making just a spectacular opening catch for him in his career, big touchdown for him, three receptions, for 88 yards and a touchdown. But Pittsburgh was 2 for 12 on third downs. They had 10 penalties for 89 yards, so they got a lot to clean up. But I'll say Pittsburgh minus 3.5, let's say.
Whoa. We really disagree on this one, I'll say. 4.5 is the number I see. I see 1.5 out there. I'm leaning the higher way here. Let me say, I'm not crazy about the way Pittsburgh has played so far. Yeah. They do have a lot to clean up. And even on defense, I know we're giving their defense a pass. They've done a lot of good things, sacking the quarterback. They had a fumble return for a touchdown. So some of the things you're just looking number-wise are very impressive with the Steelers. But they didn't stop Denver with Jeff Driskel at quarterback when they really needed to, you know, to preserve that big lead that they had. And that was actually one of our few wins that we had on the day, so I shouldn't moan too much. But that was I don't think the defense played that well. But I thought this had to be closer to 7. I'm not impressed with Houston at all. And Bill O'Brien, I mean – him going for that, it looks like one of those things where a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And it looks like he read a lot about these analytics and all that.
It kills me.
Man, situation.
What
situation.
Are you doing?
That's not when you do it to a clearly superior team. You know, that you're still in the game at that point. You know, geez.
Fourth and one at your own 34.
I need to say we needed Houston pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm going to be on the higher end here. I'm going to open 5.
5. Okay. 5. Not crazy off, but off.
Yeah.
We'll come back. It's guessing lines.
But I like it. If I see a trend higher, I'm going higher. I can tell you that.
Okay. Guessing lines with Chris Andrews, the star of the show right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Can I say something about the U.S. Open real quick here, Jason? U.S. Open yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau wins his first major. The only player under par, and I'm talking really under par. He was 6 under, so a 6-stroke lead or 6-stroke win. Here's the thing. As you know, if you listen to the show, I had Patrick Reed, among other bets, at 30-1. This is one of these great examples of if you're not watching, you're going to be behind the eight ball. Because I think, here's the thing, on Friday, Patrick Reed was in the lead, and it just absolutely crumbled on Saturday during the day. And was it Friday or Saturday where it crumbled? Friday, I can't even remember days.
It was now. Saturday.
It was Saturday. And Matthew Wolf had the greatest day ever, right? So for Patrick Reed to have gotten in the lead, he wasn't hitting fairways, and then he was just pulling stuff out of his behind to still maintain his lead, just putting out of his, you know, just head. And then Matthew Wolf had the greatest day you could ever possibly have or ever hope to expect to have on Saturday. And he got to the lead. But the whole time all these things were happening, there was Bryson DeChambeau just sort of piddling along, you know, -3, -2, -3, that kind of thing. And no matter what bets you had, and by the way, I'm not even saying this is in a good way because it took me 3 days to finally come to this, 3 rounds. But if you put all of that in the mix, you had to realize at that point that Bryson DeChambeau, because of his brute strength and the nature of this course, that his margin for error was so much wider than anybody else playing that golf course. I jumped in at Bryson DeChambeau after the third round at +245. I was probably too late in figuring that out. But at least I did that then. So was able to make back some of the futures bets, if not all, that were made before. But just an unbelievable performance, and people can debate how they feel about Bryson DeChambeau's game and his demeanor and what he's doing to golf and all that. But nonetheless, a 6-stroke winner at the U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau gets it done. Back on Guessing Lines here. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews from the South Point Hotel Casino. How much – you have a lot of action on the U.S. Open, Chris? How was it handle-wise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, very, very, very good. And that was a very good result for us too. So
yeah,
we had the Chambeau pretty low. I can't remember exactly what we opened them. 12-1, I want to say, something like that. So we didn't have a lot of action on him. So that was a really, really good result for us. One of the few of the day, but I was glad to have him.
I'm almost happy he wanted going away because there was just too much sports, right? It was just, I couldn't.
Yeah, there was. I
couldn't focus on it. Couldn't with football. Anyway, let's try to squeeze in one here.
San Francisco 49ers at the New York Giants.
All right, we're not going to be able to squeeze this in, but let me just give the preamble to this. San Francisco beats the Jets. All you really have to know about that game against the Jets is that Mostert went to the house from, what is it, 75 or 80 yards on the very first play of scrimmage. 80 yards, I'm sorry, 80 yards on the first play of scrimmage. And the other one was San Francisco at one point had a 3rd-and-31 deep backed up into their end zone. And they had, it was like a 55-yard run for a first down. Like, it was just a give-up play against the Jets. So the Jets are horrific. By the way, if Adam Gase has a job by noon today, that's an upset. But the story with – but what we like, I like to call this a Pyrrhic victory, right? That's the word, Pyrrhic victory for the Niners. Because they're a mash unit. Garoppolo, who was 14 of 16 for 131, two touchdowns, no picks, and it was sacked once. He goes out of the game with a high ankle sprain, didn't play the second half. Mostert, as I mentioned, 8 for 92, but 80 of those were on the first play from scrimmage. He goes out, feared MCL sprain, didn't play the second half. Nick Bosa, likely torn ACL per Kyle Shanahan. Solomon Thomas left in the first quarter along with Bosa. He's hurt as well. So good for the Niners. They crushed the Jets. By the way, Jordan Reed, 7 for 50 with two touchdowns. Every Skins fan is out there going, there's Jordan Reed. But they came into that game without Kittle, with his knee injury, Deebo Samuel with a foot injury, Richard Sherman with a calf injury, defensive end D Ford with a neck injury. Likely, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, I don't even know how you make a line with all that, those players in question. And then there's the Giants. That's who you said they're playing. I mean, likely torn ACL for Saquon Barkley, the biggest of all injuries yesterday in the NFL.
Yeah.
After he gained 28
yards. And Shepard, too, hurt his toe.
Shepard hurt his toe. So we put all that in the mix. I'll guess a line coming up. Jeez. What a game this is with all the injuries. Coming back right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, Chrissy Andrews. It is Guessing Lines right here on a Monday morning, just like riding a bike. Appreciate everybody, by the way. Huge podcast numbers on this, despite us even airing this on VSiN. So we're super appreciative of that. By the way, correction, I made one error here earlier. John Burgo. Gil, I had the same issue with Belichick at the end of game, but he had one timeout left at the point you're referencing as he used his second earlier in the drive after a Cam scramble. Either way, he cost them at least one chance at the end zone by not calling timeout after the Edelman catch. You're right, but that does change it a bit because then you want to keep that one in your pocket just to give you options in case you, get the ball down. And you need to use that timeout as the clock is winding down. It gives you options of what plays to call. So, yeah, not great, but not as bad as I made it out to be then. Let me just say that. Let me pull back on that a little bit. Why did I think there were two? Because I think that on the screen they said there were the little blips had two. I think there was an error in the graphic. I could be wrong about that, too. Let's throw up that injury report for week two that we throw up at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. But just going through this, because Chrissy just teed up the 49ers-Giants game for me. There's Barkley with the ACL. Then Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, all ACLs there. Mostert with the knee. The Niners don't believe that's going to be serious. Garoppolo with the ankle. We shall see. There's the big one. We mentioned Drew Lock with the shoulder injury. That's what gave way to Jeff Driscoll. Shepard's toe for the Giants as well. Devontae Adams with a hamstring. But Christian McCaffrey is the one on the right column there that looms large because we don't know how bad that is. MRI today for McCaffrey. We'll see what that's all about. Obviously, that's you talk about non-quarterbacks who move a line. That guy's top of list on a very short list. Chrissy, so when we put it all, we'll just continue with San Francisco at the Giants. I don't even know what I'd make this because we don't know who's playing, right? And we're going to let's assume there's no Barkley. Okay, well, that will make it a big line to begin with if there's no Barkley. And when we know there's no Barkley.
Yeah, but there's no Barkley.
Yeah, but
you could forget about
him. Yeah, we could forget about him. But San Francisco, I guess I don't know. Is it Nick Mullins? Is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Does that really mean anything? Mostert, yes, but what if they don't have Bosa and what if they don't have Thomas? I mean, I'll say 6 is a placeholder, but it's kind of nebulous to me.
Yeah, my power rate, there's like your power rate, and then there's this week's number, you know, and I'm kind of with you. I don't know what to make of this number. I mean, everybody has it up. I mean, it's pretty much a blanket four. I do see 1.5. You know, I guess I'll go with four. You know, I mean, the Giants, I actually had them in my contest yesterday, and they covered for me. But, you know, they were anything but impressive. You know, Niners were impressive, on the other hand. And what's, you know, Mullins, I'm looking at him. You know, his QBR was 2.3. I mean, that's bad. So it's a huge drop-off from Jimmy G, who I think gets a little bit of flack when he shouldn't. But they're putting out four. I guess I'll go with that. But I can tell you, I'm going to tread very carefully in this game because, you know, I don't know who all's in, who all's out for the 49ers. I think I'm pretty sure who's out for the Giants. And, you know, that I know. But it's going to make a big difference with the lineup for San Francisco. And right now it looks pretty sketchy because those are all – every guy you mentioned is a key player for them.
Huge. By the way, I didn't even mention Daniel Jones for the Giants. 25 of 40, 241, no touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked four times, and the Giants 17-13 loss to the Bears, which the only reaction I have is I don't know how they were in that game. I don't know how they covered. I don't know how they possibly had a chance to win it. But you know how some teams, their final drive, like the Burrow drive to cover against the Browns on Thursday, like there's no way they're not scoring. This was there's no way they're scoring. They are not going to figure this out. And they didn't. But the Giants do cover for Giants backers 17-13. All right. That one's too hard with all the injuries. What's next?
By the way, let me just throw out there. Two guys lost in the Circa Last Man Standing contest. I can't possibly think of who they could have had. Unless they just didn't fill out their contest sheet.
The answer was...
There's no favorite.
The answer was, you're talking about in the Survivor?
The Survivor, yeah.
Yeah, they had the Eagles, Jason, and what was the other one? Panthers?
I think it was the Panthers, yeah.
Yeah, one entry was the Eagles and one entry was the Panthers.
Really?
Yeah, so we're not sure why. Maybe they had multiple entries. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. That you know, maybe. Okay. All right, next up, Tennessee at Minnesota.
Okay. Tennessee 2-0, Minnesota 0-2. Ryan Tannehill 18 of 24 yesterday. In Tennessee's win over the Jaguars, which we already talked about, 33-30, they hold on. Stephen Gostkowski, two game winners now for the Titans, despite having all kinds of trouble with field goals in the first game and missing extra points in both games. Derrick Henry, 25 for 84. Jonnu Smith, four catches for 84, but two touchdowns. Tennessee, 7 of 11 on third downs. Tannehill, well, now I spoiled the trivia question. I was going to ask you a trivia question. I was going to say, who leads the NFL since week 7 of last season with 10 straight games with at least two touchdowns and no picks? The answer is Ryan Tannehill. Wow. That's pretty amazing. Would never have guessed him. Minnesota loses and loses badly, Chrissy. I mean badly, to Indianapolis, 28-11 in a game that, quite frankly, wasn't that close. Kirk Cousins, 11 for 26 for 113 yards. That's 4.35 yards per attempt. 4.35. No touchdowns, three picks, sacked three times. He had a 0.0 passer rating late into the third quarter. He ended at 15.9. And the Vikings have actually taken a safety in three straight games going back to last season's regular season finale. There's a note.
Yeah.
175 total yards. They were 2 of 9 on third down. And by the way, time of possession doesn't always mean something, but here it does. 21 minutes and 35 seconds, all they held the ball. And they had an injury, Anthony Barr, injured shoulder. Tennessee's got to be more than a three-point favorite. I'll say 3.5. We got 60 seconds here, Chrissy.
It's 2 and actually anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5.
Really?
I said 3 myself.
Wow.
But the Vikings look so bad. But, and one other thing that you talked about, Gaze for the Jets, the coach, look what happened to Tannehill once he got rid of Gaze.
Yes.
He went from probably, you know, borderline bust to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL as soon as he got this guy off his back.
Good point.
And Minnesota just looked as bad as possible. I'm going to be on the higher end here, 2.5. If I see a 3 pop up, I'm going to go there. There is something deeply wrong with this Minnesota team. They are simply awful at this point.
I asked Lombardi, even though I thought it was a weird line on Monday, I asked Lombardi Wednesday. I was like, is this a sneaky 5-11 team? Like, has the window shut? And he was pretty much in agreement with that. Tannehill, leading the NFL since week 7 of last season with 10 straight games with at least two touchdowns and no picks. Great point. about losing Adam
Gase.
Yeah. That's the first line I think we have value on. I can't believe that's lower than three. We'll come back. Guessing lines. That's the point of this exercise. Chris Andrews, Skill Alexander, coming right back right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. More games to come.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
It's Gil Alexander, it's Chris Andrews, it's Guessing Lines, everybody, for week three in the National Football League. By the way, every team that was on the road last week in week one was at home in week two. Every team that was at home in week one, on the road in week two. That never happens in the NFL. I think 50 years it's been since that's happened. But that's the way they, cookie crumble, that's the way they did it by design for the schedule this year. All right, Chris, what's next?
Next up, we have the Washington football team at the Cleveland Browns.
The Washington football team at the Cleveland Browns. Both teams 1-1. By the way, 2-0 teams to make the playoffs historically, and that's in a year where there were only six teams per conference making the playoffs. 2-0 teams make it 62% of the time. Now, of course, they've added a wild card team, so chalk that up even higher probably. But these are two 1-1 teams between the Washington football team and Cleveland. I don't really have much to say here. The Washington football team loses. See, I almost did it there, Chrissy. They lose to Arizona, and they lose by the score of 30-15. I'll say it again, not nearly that close. Dwayne Haskins, 19 of 33 for 223, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked four times. Terry McLaurin, still the only real Redskin threat on offense. 7 catches for 125 and a touchdown. Great draft pick out of Ohio State. And then there's Cleveland. They've got extra rest. They beat Cincinnati. Did not cover, though, on Thursday night. Baker Mayfield was 16 of 23, you may recall, for 219, two touchdowns and a pick. Nick Chubb, 22 for 124, two touchdowns in that game. And Kareem Hunt, 10 for 86 on the ground with a touchdown, 2 for 15 through the air and a touchdown. Look, Washington is Washington. Their front seven is great. Everything else is not. Their offense is supremely challenged. I don't think they're a very good football team. By the way, the NFC West might be awesome. The NFC East might be historically bad, especially now with all the injuries. I mean, really, with all the injuries. Dallas should sleepwalk to the title. I know Philly's going to have something to say about that, but Dallas really should, although I've got something to say about Dallas. They got problems, too, despite their amazing win yesterday. I'll just say Cleveland minus six.
Yeah, you know, my power ratings come to 6.5. It's mostly 7, and I like that much better, you know, with the extra rest. And, you know, in all honesty, Cleveland looked pretty good. I don't want to go overboard because the first week of the season, they looked like the worst team in the league. But they looked pretty good to me on Thursday night. So I like the 7 better. And, boy, you're watching the football team. You know, I liked Haskins a lot coming out of college, but, you know, so far not so good. His QBR, 13.3. You're right. They lost 30-15. Was not nearly that close.
No. Not at all. Yeah, I don't have much else to say about
that. I'm going to go with 7.
That's a pretty ho-hum matchup right there. All right.
Yeah.
By the way, Baker Mayfield, still one or two bad performances away from, you know, the buzz about him being benched being there. So he's still teetering to me. How about the top of that draft in 2018? Baker Mayfield, maybe one or two starts away from the benching talk. Saquon out for the year now with the ACL. And then Sam Darnold at 3, not really that great at football, consensus.
Mm.
Think about that draft. And there are other players in the
top. Well, he gets rid of Adam Gase, though.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Know, that might be a big help.
Who's the best top 10 player in that draft now? Quentin Nelson or Denzel Ward? Probably somebody like some of the more non-sexy picks in 2018 for the top 10. All right, what's next here?
We have the Bengals at the Eagles.
Bengals at the Eagles, the aforementioned Bengals who lost to the Browns last Thursday night when Joe Burrow was 37 of 61 for 316. That's only a 5.18 yards per attempt, but he looked good. 8 of 18 on third downs with the Bengals, 5 of 5 on fourth on Thursday night. And then there's the Eagles. Carson Wentz and the Eagles lose to the Rams yesterday, 37 to 19. Wentz was 26 of 43 for 242. No touchdowns, 2 picks. Wasn't sacked. Miles Sanders was back, 20 for 95 and a touchdown. The Eagles just aren't that great. They just really are unimpressive. You think you still have this image of them winning the Super Bowl, and they just have been very mediocre since then. And I think almost half their wins since that Super Bowl victory have been against the Giants and the Washington football team. They're just not good. That said, it is against a rookie quarterback playing his third game, so they're going to be favored, and I think it'll be more than a field goal. I'll say -4.5.
Well, again, I like your number much better. It's 6.5.
Ooh.
He won 6 in a highly respectable place. I'm going to open at 6 myself. You know, I mentioned to Matt Eumanns before the year, and I talked to him again last night, and I'm going to say the same thing. I'm not sure how good this Bengal team is, but they're going to cover some numbers as a dog.
Yes.
And this, to me, I think is a perfect situation for them.
I agree.
They get a little bit of extra rest. And, you know, I don't know what it was because I'm in with a bunch of other guys. We had the Eagles yesterday in the contest, and I was not for it. But I got overruled. Not that I got overruled. I just didn't say anything. They all love the Eagles. It was one of those games where if you didn't like the Eagles yesterday, they were going to take away your wise guy card. Every wise man down had the Eagles. Because the public was all over the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking. At least we went in. That was like a break-even game for us, which was a huge victory considering yesterday's result. But everybody was on the Eagles. I'll tell you, I mean, the number, I'm not sure exactly what it should be because I think people probably will bet the Eagles thinking that they're 0-2, facing a rookie quarterback, the team that was the worst in the league last year, blah, blah, blah. But I definitely like the Bengals. If I was there betting my money, I would definitely be on the Bengals in this this matchup. And I'm going to push hard for our contest to have the Bengals.
I love that you were like, I didn't really say anything. I just kept my mouth, I kept my mouth shut with my contest cohorts. Yeah, I add that to Tennessee for me is the first two I like. Tennessee and Cincinnati. That's too many points.
Okay.
Too many points. Let's squeeze one more in here before the top of the hour.
Bears at the Falcons.
Bears at the Falcons. Bears, we talked about. Bears beat the Giants. Mitch Trubisky, 18 to 28 for 190. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 4 times. Montgomery with the workload for the Bears, 16 for 82 on the ground. 3 catches, 45 yards, and a touchdown. The Atlanta Falcons. We're going to have to split this up between Falcons talk and Cowboys talk. 21,708 fans there yesterday in Atlanta. Greg Zuerlein kicks the 46-yarder as time expires, and the Cowboys overcome 4 fumbles and a 20-point deficit in the first quarter to beat the Falcons 40-39 yesterday with under 9 minutes left in the game. Atlanta had a 98% chance, according to Next Gen Stats, to beat the Cowboys. That was after a 6-yard pickup to make it 2nd and 4. But then 2 incomplete passes that stopped the clock, right? So there was a Julio Jones drop in the third quarter that was a sure touchdown. That was very uncharacteristic. But it's still 98% chance with under 9 minutes left for the Falcons to win that game. So they get a 6-yard pickup, but then 2 incomplete passes stop the clock, and you're thinking to yourself, well, that won't matter, right? I mean, this game's over. But it does. Every one of those plays matters. They end up with a field goal. They're up 39-24 even after that. Then Dallas scores a touchdown and then decide to go for two. Curious. Down nine. Down nine. They don't get it. So it's 39-30. They force a punt. Dallas does of Atlanta. Dallas scores another touchdown, and then the onside kick heard around the world. Onside kick from Greg Zuerlein with no tee, which had the magical powers of mesmerizing the Falcons, who stared at the ball and were like, what do we do with this again? This is dizzying. Oh, wait. Oh, now it's too late. Recovered by C.J. Goodwin. You know the rest. They're aligned with a field goal. The Cowboys outscored the Falcons 16-0, the final 4 minutes and 57 seconds of that game. It's the biggest blown lead for the Falcons since their 28-3 choking in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Ryan, 24 of 36 for 273, four touchdowns, no picks, one sack. But who cares? He always puts up great numbers. Ridley, 7 for 109, two touchdowns. Julio Jones, this we care about. Two catches, 24 yards, and again, up 29-17, third quarter, 7:09 left. He drops a short touchdown pass. What the? Just horrific. We talk about Gase. What about Dan Quinn? Still, they'll be favored against the Bears. I'll say Atlanta -3.5, even after all that.
Yeah, it's three and a half. I like the lower number. How many special teams coaches this week are going to go, do you guys understand? You're allowed to touch the ball before it goes 10 yards. They are not allowed to touch the ball. You are allowed to. That's the worst. Kicking, I'm trying to find the right words. Remember Leon Lett in that snow bowl against Miami?
Sure do.
I don't know how many years ago that was, and he led to a Dallas loss. But this one led to a Dallas win. But I guarantee every coach is going to go through that this week, and that's just an unbelievable thing as I'm watching it. And, it was one of those games where we were going to lose because they took the Atlanta plus the points, but they bet Dallas on the money line. And of course, that was another horrible result for us. But
brutal money line loss for those who had the Falcons. Yeah. Brutal.
Yeah.
It's amazing because, you know, when you're watching it on Red Zone, they were who's the guy? It's not Siciliano, but the other guy. Scott Hansen. No, it's not Scott Hansen. That's the guy who does Dateline. Hi, I'm Scott Hansen. That's not the guy you want in your kitchen or your living room. It was the other guy. But he said he was like, he thought the ball had like curved all of a sudden at the end. No, it didn't. It just kind of spun slowly. And the Cowboys were like, the Falcons were like, hey, that's
supposed to be your hands, guys, out there, right? You know, I mean,
opposite of their hands, guys. All right, so kind of on that number. We got more to say. I have more to say about that when we get to Dallas, too. Whole bunch more games to get to. 7, in fact. Guessing Lines, Week 3 with Chris Andrews right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number 2 right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Series XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. All brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Chris Andrews here as well with us, my mishpucha from the South Point Hotel Casino. By the way, should I mention this, Jason? I have a tennis bet this morning that I have no expectation of winning. How do you like that for a preamble? I have a bet on Diego Schwartzman. It's about to start in Rome in about 5 minutes. I have Diego Schwartzman at +416 against Novak Djokovic. The final in Rome on clay. Schwartzman on Rosh Hashanah beats the king of clay, Rafael Nadal. Has anything ever been that poetic, ladies and gentlemen? So I have no expectation that Schwartzman will take down Djokovic today because he just had an unbelievable match in between the Nadal match and this one against Denis Shapovalov yesterday, which he overcame at third set tiebreaker. But I'll take a flyer on it, +416, because I think it's a good bet. Still no expectation of winning it. But if we want to get on that, mazel tov to you, if you know what I mean. Chrissy's back. I want to bring a couple things. One, I was right. Did I say Scott Hansen? Scott Hansen was the guy on Red Zone. Chris Hansen was the guy on the old on the old datelines that would show up in kitchens. It's just it's a whole nother subject. And then Chris Valica texting us, Chrissy, in the middle of all that, he goes, "That's not very nice to talk about Adam Gase like that, guys. He's a brilliant offensive mind." I think that was sarcasm. Chrissy, I think we have, I think we're more, a little more than halfway through here for a week three lines. What is next? We're still in the morning, yeah. I believe?
No, we're going to the afternoon now.
Already in the afternoons. Oh, that's right, because there's five, you said.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Perfect. Afternoon.
Yeah. All right. The Super Bowl III rematch, Jets at the Colts.
Super Bowl III rematch. We all remember it like it was yesterday.
It's a revenge game for the Colts.
It's a too soon. A revenge game for the Colts. That's right. Joe Willie Namath guaranteeing victory. What was it, 16-7? Is that the correct score of that game, Super Bowl III?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The Jets are 0-2. They ain't those Jets. And it's against the Colts, who are now 1-1. They lost to the Jaguars week one, and then they just destroyed the Vikings 28-11 yesterday, easily covering the 3.5. And again, a game that wasn't that close. We talked about the Vikings' woes. Darnold yesterday for the Jets, 21 of 32 for 179, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked once. Only 275 total yards of offense against the Niners for the Jets. The Colts beat the Vikings in front of 2,500 people in attendance yesterday. By the way, they're permitting 7,500 at next week's home game for the Colts against the Jets, for those who, for this game against the Jets, for those who are attendance statistic fans. Phillip Rivers yesterday, 19-25 for 214, one touchdown, one pick, two sacks, twice sacked, I should say. Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin, how about this? 26 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. Mo Alie-Cox, 5 catches for 111. More injuries. The Colts with their second ruptured Achilles of the season. Marlon Mack earlier, and now it's Malik Hooker, their safety. Feared torn Achilles, per Ian Rappaport. And Paris Campbell, one of their wideouts, carted off with a knee injury. Just, I mean, NFL was brutal yesterday. I don't ever remember a weekend like that in the NFL where so many big-name players were hurt and badly. But the Jets are terrible, Chris. So to me, it's the – I mean, Colts minus 6.5, I'll say.
Once again, I kind of like your number better. I made it 7. And first of all, let me say the Jets have tumbled to the bottom of my power ratings.
Wow.
But the Colts, did they just beat a horrible team?
I think so.
Or are they any good? I think they beat a horrible team myself. I'm going through the numbers. You know, Rivers was not that impressive.
Nope.
QBR, again, it's 36.2. You know, he was sacked a couple times. He had a touchdown, an interception. You know, Taylor was good. Mo Alie-Cox was good. But I think they beat a horrible team. You know, sometimes it's hard to look at a team like the Jets and talk about some value. But I think there's a little value here in taking the Jets plus the 10. You got to really hold your nose and do it if you're going to do that. But I kind of like the Jets in this spot. I think 10 is just too high against a team that is 10? Just not very good.
Wow, 10.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, that's one of those, though, where it's like, okay, the other one with the Bengals, I love taking those points. With the Jets, do I want to live through that?
Yeah,
I don't know that I did.
Yeah, you want to watch that on TV?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a game you bet and you call me with the final.
Yeah, it's Gil Alexander. It's Chris Andrews. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Guessing Lines for those tuning in for the first time. It's a tribute to the old Stardust radio show with the great Roxy Roxborough. I am in a cocoon since yesterday. I guess what I think the line ought to be once Chris serves up the matchup. And then he tells me what he's going to post here at the South Point. Hopefully within that exercise, we can extract some value. Already, I think we have in a couple of these games. Don't know if I want to take the Jets, even though I was so far off. And you think it shouldn't be what the line actually is either, but that's interesting.
I'm going to open 10 just to go on the record. I'm going to open 10. I'm not going to take a stand at this point on the Jets this early in the week. But I like the Jets. I think 10 is just too high.
I think you're right, though. That's the way to look at it. Are the Colts good or did the Colts just beat a really bad team yesterday? And I think you're right. It's the latter. All right, 5 afternoon games. I like this. What's next?
Well, this is a tough one. Carolina at the Chargers.
Oh, God. Okay, so we don't know about Christian McCaffrey. Let me just say that up front, right?
That's the big thing.
That's the big thing. So how could you possibly make a line here? Bridgewater yesterday for Carolina against Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay wins that game 31-17. That's a brutal beat for underbettors, and that's a brutal beat for Carolina bettors, the way that Tampa Bay scored late there on the Fournette breakout. But Bridgewater yesterday for Carolina against Tampa Bay, 33-42 for 367, no touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked five times. McCaffrey, before he went out with an injury, 18 for 59 on the ground, two touchdowns, four catches for 29 yards. DJ Moore, 8 for 120. Robbie Anderson, 9 for 109, but four turnovers for the Panthers, nine penalties for 77 yards. It's an ankle injury for McCaffrey per the team. This is the first 10-plus game losing streak for the Panthers since 2001. The Panthers have allowed six touchdowns rushing in the first two games this season. Remember, they were horrific against the run last year. So if you go back to last year, they've allowed 38 rushing touchdowns over the past 18 football games, including 32 from last season. Just a terrible record there against the ground game. Chargers lose, pardon me. They won the first week, remember, getting by Cincinnati. Chargers lose, but lose impressively, if that's a proper phrase there, to the Chiefs yesterday, 23-20. They put up a big fight in this game and really for a long time looked like they were going to win this outright. Right before the game, Tyrod Taylor with the what people were describing as the peculiar chest injury, but I guess it was a re-aggravation of something he had before. So Justin Herbert, in just his second game in uniform, becomes the starter, and he comported himself very well for the Chargers yesterday, but it wasn't to be. Harrison Butker kicking a 58-yard field goal with 1:55 remaining in overtime, and the Chiefs survive the Chargers 23-20. The big moment in this one, there was a fourth down. So end of regulation. The Chargers have a 10-minute, 21-second drive that they end up settling for a field goal on. Rush, and then a broken play where Herbert looked to hand off, but he turned right when he should have turned left to Eckler. So that was a broken play. So they end up settling for the field goal. Butker comes back, 30-yarder on the final play of regulation to send it into overtime. He had already hit a 58-yarder earlier in the game. In overtime, the Chargers, with 4th-and-1 at their own 34 with 7:58 left, decide to punt it away. And by the way, Anthony...
Where's Bill O'Brien when you need him?
Where's Bill O'Brien when you need him? That's right. Anthony Lynn, this is according to Pro Football Talk, on his overtime punt, quote, "I gave us a chance to extend the game," unquote. Lord.
Thanks.
Herbert was 22 of 33 for 311, by the way. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked two times. He's the ninth quarterback since the merger to have a 300-yard game in his NFL debut. But the Chiefs end up matriculating the ball down the field. And then in one of the great kicking displays you are ever likely to see, Butker kicks a 53-yarder, which was first. Was it the false start was first or the icing first? I can never remember. But either way, it was 53-yarder, but it was a false start. So it goes back to 58. Then they ice him. He still takes a practice kick. He makes that. And then the actual kick from 58, he makes that again. Good Lord, Harrison Butker. And I will tell you this, when the Chiefs were lining up to kick that field goal, fourth and like a foot at the in plus territory for a 53-yard field goal attempt with around 2 minutes left, 1:58 left, I was the first person to say, I was like, I think this is a mistake by Andy Reid. Like, you shouldn't kick the field goal here. You should just try to pick up the first down, get a little closer, because you still have time. But he knows his kicker better than I do, because Butker was like, this is no problem for me. Anyway, from the Chargers' perspective, Eckler, 16 for 93 on the ground, 4 for 55 receptions. Keenan Allen, 7 for 96. Hunter Henry, 6 for 83. Anyway, they lose to the Chargers, but they have a lot to be proud of with Justin Herbert. Here's what I don't understand from yesterday. The biggest upshot, you could say what you will about the Chargers' decision to punt on 4th-and-1 in overtime. That was suspect. By the way, there was a fourth down play, which was strange in the first half when they're at the Kansas City 34, up 7-0 also. But at the end of this game, after Herbert did what Herbert did, they asked Anthony Lynn, I don't even know if they asked him, or if he was unprompted, and he's like, when Tyrod Taylor is healthy, he's our quarterback. What? What? I don't understand. Why would you do that after what you saw yesterday? Anyway, who's this? Caroline at the Chargers? Is that what we're talking about? McCaffrey hurt? I don't know. McCaffrey's hurt. If McCaffrey's playing, this is probably around 4.5. If he's not playing, there's no telling what this line would be.
Well, I agree with you almost exactly. If he's playing, like, power ratings come to 4.5, which I think is a pretty good number. But I did that thing for Matt Eumanns, like, with a couple different projects we were working on together. One was, how many points are non-quarterbacks worth, and are there any? And there's only a few. But the top of the list was Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And I thought he was worth 2 points. Now, tell you the truth, he might be worth more now
maybe
that I think
three.
About it.
Yeah.
So I see some guys have it up 6.5. It's almost, to me, like you're assuming that McCaffrey's not playing. I think I'm just going to leave this one off. I just think too much of McCaffrey. And by the way, how about the one play with Herbert when he was running out of bounds and the guy went to tackle and he stuck the linebacker? And he just bounced right up.
Yeah, linebacker had a stinger.
Who was it?
One of the linebacker
had
a stinger.
Yeah, and I mean, you can even see, like, the Charger medical staff rushed to him. They could see right away he was hurt. Herbert hit that guy. He was very impressive. I liked a lot what I see. It's one game, so who knows? But he looked very good. And if they're going to give Tyrod Taylor the ball back when he's healthy,
I do not understand that. Don't understand that.
No. So I'm going to leave that one off. But, you know, Herbert has nothing to do with it, except he should start. But, you know, with McCaffrey questionable, I'm not putting it up. Not doing it.
Yeah, no, I would – for me, it would be 3 points, right? And I think that's for people who are just landing on, you know, people are new-time bettors or casual bettors, novice bettors in different jurisdictions, and they're like, wait, say that again? So quarterbacks tend to mean the most against the line. In fact, so much so what Chrissy was saying, that most non-quarterbacks, despite how famous they might be, despite how much the mainstream media might make about them, don't mean a damn thing to the line. But there are a few exceptions. And Christian McCaffrey, what Chrissy was saying, is top of that list. 2 points, maybe three, because I think 4.5.
Yeah.
4.5 was my guess with him. But I probably guess like 7 or 7.5 without him. Because that, man, what does Carolina do without him? You know?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it'd go at least 6.5, at least, without him, at least.
All right, let's do another. Afternoon.
So I'm leaving it up. Detroit at Arizona.
Detroit at Arizona. Oh, it's a rematch of the tie from week one of last year.
When, right,
when the Lions snatched a tie from the jaws of victory. Detroit loses to Green Bay yesterday. We have a question on the Megapod every week, the Beating the Book podcast, which we do the Megapod now live at the D every Thursday at 10 a.m. Everybody's welcome to join us. But the last question is always, there's two last questions, but one of the last two is, what's the big favorite you think is the most likely to lose outright? Big favorite, 6.5-point favorites or greater. And I said, actually, I have a hunch Green Bay might against Detroit. And for the first part of that game, I was feeling really smart. I'm like, see, look at that. I just knew it. Everybody's overreacting. And then Detroit just looked like garbage. Stafford, 20 of 33 for 244, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 4 times. This is the third losing streak of 11-plus games in the Super Bowl era. The first team in history to lose 4 straight games in which they led by 10-plus points. 4 straight games in which they led by 10-plus points. The Detroit Lions. And we said last week, 33 games, this was going into this week, that Patricia had coached 33 games and had blown 11 fourth-quarter leads. Didn't happen in this game because they were long behind by the fourth quarter. But still, 4 straight games in which they led by 10-plus points. Every week, it seems like we're coming up with some Lions horrific superlative stat. And then there's Arizona we talked about. They beat the Washington football team. Kyler Murray, 26 of 38 for 286. 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times. But this is always the case with Murray. 8 carries for 67 yards, 2 touchdowns. That is where the magic is. DeAndre Hopkins, after catching 14 in week one, 8 for 68 and a touchdown. Arizona did have 11 penalties for 96 yards. They'll have to clean that up. But listen, Russell Wilson, we were watching that game last night. Russell Wilson, famously, the stat that we've been talking about, it's the most amazing stat in all of sports, quite frankly, that he's never received one single MVP vote. And Chris Collinsworth was on the broadcast last night on Sunday Night Football, and he actually said, you know, Pro Football Focus had him as the MVP last year, and I would have voted for Russell Wilson, but the year before, Collinsworth said, I was late putting in my ballot, so they took the ballot away from me. I'm no longer allowed to vote. So he would have had one, but he doesn't. But at least that narrative is now permeating, you know, the mass media about Russell Wilson. So I think Russell Wilson, it's his to lose this year. But if he loses it, you know who's top of that list, Chrissy? Kyler Murray to me. Like, this guy's amazing. I'll say Arizona at a minimum six here against Detroit, minus six.
Well, you're right on. It's six. My power ratings come to seven, and I got to give you a mea culpa here. I thought I didn't like Murray coming out of college. I really don't like their coach. I didn't, you know, but he seems to fit Murray extremely well. And, you know, I couldn't be more wrong. This kid looks really, really good. And we've hit like about four games in a row with terrible coaching. Atlanta with Quinn, the Jets with Gase, the Chargers, we didn't get that into it, but Anthony Lynn is no bargain. And now we're on Matt Patricia. Man, he's another guy. You know, get a picture of him on the sidelines because you won't see him there next year. I can tell you, they shouldn't see him but there by the end of the season. Remember they fired Jim Caldwell a couple years ago after he was like 9-7 or 10-6, something like that. I remember scratching my head. What? Detroit? This is the worst franchise of my lifetime.
Jim Caldwell. If I'm doing this off memory because we were talking about this a week ago, me, Ian, Felica. 4 years with the Lions, I want to say that he won 11 games, then he had a down year, and then he won nine, and he won nine. 9-7, as you say, is final year, and they fired
him. Sounds about right.
And they fired him. Yeah. And this is what they got now. Matt Patricia. Who's more on the hot seat, him or Gase? It's one of those two guys.
I'd say Gase just because it's New York.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Anyway, I see this number 5.5 and six. I'm going to go with six. Like I said, my numbers come to seven. I'm going to go with six, and I see it trending lower. You know, probably the same guys that bet the Eagles yesterday, and you know, so. But I like the higher number, and if I see it trending higher at all, I'm going to go higher. But 5.5 and six, I'm going to open six.
You know, the other thing with Kyler Murray is, I say this about Russell Wilson all the time. I think these are the two guys. Maybe I could say this about Lamar Jackson too, but for some reason, I don't find myself involved in Lamar Jackson games as much. But Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, the truth serum of betting. If you're betting against those two guys, it is the worst experience you could possibly endure. It's never over. You're never comfortable. Let's do one more here before the break from the afternoon of week three.
Just real quick, I was watching the game last night with my wife, and I needed New England. And I kept telling her, I hate betting against Russell Wilson. I hate it.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Oh, man, is he good. Okay.
Those touchdown passes.
Buccaneers at the Broncos.
Yeah, those touchdown passes that he threw. I was talking about the DK Metcalf one in week one against the Falcons. But all three of those touchdown passes yesterday, he threw five, by the way, but three of them, the long ones, good Lord, were those beautiful. I'm sorry, what was the matchup?
Tampa at Denver.
Tampa at Denver. All right. I don't know if we're going to squeeze all this in, but Tampa at Denver. Tampa gets off the schneid. They win yesterday. The Buccaneers, as we mentioned, beat the Carolina Panthers, and they end up covering, and that game goes over in just the worst kind of way for bettors who are on the opposite side of that. Brady was 23 of 35, 217, one touchdown, one pick. Nothing special. Fournette, 12 for 103. That was padded by that last touchdown run for two touchdowns. Evans, 7 for 104 and a touchdown. Then there's Denver. We mentioned Drew Locke, 1 of 5 for 20 before the shoulder injury, left the stadium in a sling. Cortland Sutton, who was questionable for the first game, he shows up for this game. Then he gets a knee injury and cramping, per Adam Schefter. He left. So it was Jeff Driscoll against the Steelers. 18 of 34 for 256, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked six times and absorbed 17 hits. And yet they still had a chance to beat the Steelers, as you were alluding to earlier. Even with all that, it's not like the Steelers ran away from the Broncos. I don't, you know, we talk about quarterbacks mean a lot to the spread, just to sort of piggyback what we were saying earlier. But I don't know that there's a difference between Drew Locke and Jeff Driscoll at all. So to me, this is just the same sort of calculus. I will guess Tampa Bay, I'll put it in no man's land. And we'll have to get your answer after the break. But I'll say Tampa Bay minus 5.5 against the Broncos. Tampa Bay 1-1. Broncos 0-2 now. And 0-2 in two really gut-wrenching ways. Two losses that could have gone in either direction for the Broncos. Plinko. So many of these are Plinko. We'll get Chrissy's response to what this line is. It's Guessing Lines, Week 3, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Jim Caldwell, 4 years coaching the Lions. Remember, that was after he coached the Colts for 3 years, but he had Peyton Manning for those years. So, at least the first couple years he did. And, of course, they were first in their division in the AFC South those 2 years. But when he got to the Lions, 11-5, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7. So I was right. Memory served correctly on that. Two of those were playoff years. Matt Patricia, 3 years with Detroit. 6-10, 3-12-1, and now 0-2. So he has a total of 9 victories in 2 years and some change. Just saying. Diego Schwartzman breaks Djokovic early. Oh, this could be a great morning. That'll be a fun morning. Let's see if that. Oh, still early against Novak, though. You know how that goes. All right, Chrissy, we talked.
Gil.
Yes.
Hang on, man. It came across during the break. Christian McCaffrey definitely out.
Definitely out. Definitely out for this week, or for how long?
For this week is all I saw. So I don't know beyond that. I don't know.
Stephanie, off camera. What do you say, Stephanie? How long? Several weeks. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Here it is. I see out indefinitely. Okay.
Stephanie does Lombardi line coming up at the top of the hour.
This number is now settled in at like 7.5.
Which one?
I think that's a shade high.
We're talking about the
Carolina and the Chargers.
Carolina and the Chargers. Back to that. So 7.5. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shade high, yeah. Maybe. But yeah, I get
it. I think I was going to go with that. I don't want to mess with that too much. I think 7.5 looks okay.
All right. What's next here? Oh, no, we had to react to, I gave you my guess for...
Denver.
Yeah, I said 5.5. I just threw it out in no man's land.
Yeah. I think the quarterback situation does mean a little bit for Denver just because they spent so much time in the offseason, gearing their whole offense around Locke. They were very high on him. So sometimes, and we saw this with Herbert. You get a young quarterback, gets thrown in there, doesn't have time to think. A lot of times they could do really well. But now you got a week to practice. Sometimes it actually works against them. Tampa 6 is what I see. I like that number. I think that's okay. But I think we might be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves on Tampa.
just with the whole Brady thing.
I agree.
I'm not sure they're in that highest echelon of NFC teams. They're knocking on the door for that, but it looks this number, I think, is a shade high. Gun to my head, I would probably take Denver, but I think this is a very tough game to bet. Like I said, I don't know. And Driscoll's not a rookie. He's been around a couple years. But I'm not sure how he's going to react with a week of pressure knowing that he's going to start. Sometimes that could be counterproductive.
You know, I was about to say, this is one of these games that I would want no part of as the answer to that question. Which game do you want no part of? But as I sit here and stop in my tracks right here, am I correct in this? And Jason, you'll back me up on this. Is that now that McCaffrey's out, does that Chargers game become the biggest line that we've even talked about this week? 7 points? 7.5? I can't hear you. Am I hearing you?
Wasn't the Colts 10?
Oh, right. The Colts was 10. So that's the one except, by the way, it shouldn't be 10. But that's, I mean, wow. But isn't that the only single game that's above 7 or 7.5?
Yeah, I think so.
So most of these are, like, this is a much tighter week line-wise thus far. Survivor's going to be a bear. Of course, I said that before week two. Only two entries lost. you know. All right, let's do one more in the afternoon. We might have to bump into a commercial, but we'll serve it up for me here.
Dallas at Seattle.
Dallas. Oh, we can't do this before a commercial, for God's sakes. Dallas at Seattle. There's too much to talk about here. Let me just tell you, I'll do this before the break. So I gave how Dallas, that whole final sequence of how Dallas won that game against Atlanta. Here's how my Dallas Cowboy friend, who turned off the TV, then texts me back. And once he found out that Dallas won, he's very nervous kid. He goes, how do you have 3 fumbles minus 3 turnovers, call 2 failed fake punts in your own territory, make an idiotic 2-point conversion call down 9 with under 5 minutes to play, have 5 Falcons watch a spinning top onside kick that has never been tried in a game before, recover it, and hit a field goal? Seriously, I cannot fathom the odds of that. Again, according to Next Gen Stats, the odds were 2% that would result in a win. Do we have that tweet also about the Falcons here? This is from ESPN Stats and Information. Again, another way of putting this in perspective, because this is incredible. Falcons had 39 points with 0 turnovers in their loss against the Cowboys. Entering yesterday, teams were 440-0. 440-0 when scoring 39 with 0 turnovers since 1933, when team turnovers were first tracked, according to Elias. We'll dig into the Cowboys and Seahawks next, guessing lines, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Gil Alexander, it's Chrissy Andrews. Jason Kahn, producer number 7, is here as well. I touched on U.S. Open golf briefly. The basketball game last night, AD hits a game-winning 3 at the buzzer to beat the Nuggets. 2-0 now in that best of 7. Man, I was hoping the Nuggets would win that for a series, but now you really can't expect there to be much of a series. We have the Eastern Conference Finals to rely on. Game 3 of that. Hockey, Dallas Stars up 1-0. But the point being, there are so many sports at one time, and the notion of a golf major while football was happening. Again, I'm almost happy that it wasn't contested at the end, because you can't pay attention to so many things. By the way, these are all great problems to have. 3-4 months ago, we would have dreamt of this, so I'm not complaining. But it is tough to get everything. And we'll resume with baseball, obviously. Baseball, last week of the regular season. Wait till next week. Oh, my goodness, when we have the baseball postseason. But we'll have baseball picks with Jason Weingarten, me and him dueling it out this year in the baseball season. All right, so let's get to this game here. This is it's the Cowboys at the Seahawks. Is that what you said, Chrissy?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll try to contextualize this. So we've said pretty much everything about these two, but about the Falcons and the Cowboys again. The Falcons were still up 15 points. Remember, they were up 20 in the first. They were still up 15 in the fourth quarter before Dak Prescott became the first quarterback in NFL history to pass for more than 400 yards and rush for 3 touchdowns in the same game. Wow. It's another stat. In the past 9 seasons, Atlanta now has 2 of the 3 instances in which a team lost after leading by at least 15 points with less than 8 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Congratulations, Atlanta Falcons. That despite 570 total yards. That with the Cowboys getting 570 total yards. Pardon me. Dak played without both of his starting tackles. Still went 34 for 47 for 450, one touchdown, no picks, sacked once. Zeke, 22 for 89 and a touchdown. Six catches for 33 yards. Imagine that at the top of fantasy drafts. McCaffrey, Saquon, Zeke. The people who got Zeke won the injury sweepstakes. God. CeeDee Lamb, 6 for 106. Amari, 6 for 100. Schultz, 9 for 88 and a touchdown. One of those names is not like the other. You decide. But here's the thing, and this is also my neurotic Dallas Cowboy fan friend who just wrote that whole text to me. He's like, how do you win that? He said, here's the thing, Gil, because I said to him, I go, you're going to run away with the division now. He goes, you stop with that damn talk. That's what he said to me. He goes, because here's the deal. The Cowboys, he points this out, have forced 7 punts in 8 quarters, and 4 were in what Atlanta might have considered garbage time yesterday. They're without Tyron Smith, Lael Collins, and Cam Irving on the offensive line that already lost Travis Frederick, the star center, to retirement. Tight end Blake Jarwin, season-ending knee injury last week. A defense that lost top corner Byron Jones in free agency hasn't been right without injured linebackers Leighton Vander Esch and Sean Lee, and starting quarter Anthony Brown. So the reality check is that defense allowed points 8 times in a 9-drive span Sunday in Atlanta. It has a total of 2 sacks in 2 games against teams with vulnerable offensive lines and has already allowed 17 third-down conversions on 34 attempts, plus 3 fourth-down conversions on as many attempts. One takeaway thus far against opponents that committed a combined 49 turnovers in 2019. So, yes, we along with the Falcons were apparently mesmerized by this spinning onside kick. But the Cowboys' defense is in tatters. Absolutely in tatters. So let's not think they're that great. Seattle, as we talked about, amazing win last night. What a great game. Russell Wilson, 21 of 28, 288, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked twice. The touchdowns to Metcalf, Lockett, Moore, Carson, and Swain. On the season, Chrissy, 11 incompletions, 9 touchdown passes. God, is that good? Oh, my God. Seattle lost its starting and backup free safeties in the first half last night. Let's not forget that. Quandre Diggs ejected late in the first quarter for a helmet-to-helmet on N'Keal Harry, and then Marquise Blair moved from nickel corner to safety in place of Diggs, left with a right knee injury in the second quarter. By the way, that put Delano Hill in. He took over at safety with Blair out. And remember, he took out the fullback in that final play yesterday where they caught Cam behind the line of scrimmage or prevented him from scoring. Anyway, it's Dallas at Seattle. So I still think, based on all that in the wash, Seattle's the better football team. Dallas is still really flawed. Seattle -4.
There's a little bit of 4, but mostly 4.5. I think that's a little cheap myself.
I think so, too.
You know, let me say, Seattle's defense is not that good. We're used to them being so great. They're not all that great. Both their games have gone over by a million. And this is the highest total of the week. I see like 55.5, 56. And, you know, kind of rightfully so. I think both defenses are not very good. But I don't want to go into this game rooting against Russell Wilson. I can tell you that right now.
I don't. Yeah.
So I'm going to open 4.5 because I see it, you know, in one spot a little bit lower, nothing higher than 4.5. But if I see this trending higher, I'm going higher because, I do not want to spend my Sunday afternoon rooting against Russell Wilson. That is just torture for me. I think this kid is so good. And I'd love to have him going for me occasionally, but as a bookmaker, that very, very rarely happens. So yeah. I'm going to try to do it this week, though, if I can.
And repeat what you said at the top of this show, that 1 yard cost you. Put it in context again for us, Chris.
That was the most costly yard since London Fletcher tackled Mason, was that his name? At the 1 yard line in the 2000 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With Tennessee and the Rams, Los Angeles Rams.
Derek Mason.
It was the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, Derek Mason.
Derek Mason. Yeah, look at this. Yeah.
That
was a brutal 1 yard.
Chrissy informs us that it cost him bunches, quote unquote, earlier on the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Talk to Jimmy. He'll probably give you the exact number. I'm not going to do it.
Sure,
but he will.
Sure, he'll spill it. It is Guessing Lines for Week 3. We got primetime games still to come. All right, we got primetime games left, Chrissy. What's Sunday night?
First of all, we were corrected. Bainbridge DeWeese tweeted us it was Kevin Dyson. So tackle.
Oh,
the one
Kevin Dyson. That's
that
right.
Super Bowl.
Thank you.
Kevin Dyson.
It was Kevin Dyson.
I should have remembered that. Oh, well.
And who was on the tackle? Jones was on the tackle? As I recall.
I thought it was London Fletcher?
I don't think it was London Fletcher. I think it was Jones.
I think you're right. I think it was Mike Jones.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how your memory is like, it was
Bainbridge, London. Bainbridge, you out there? Come on. Let's go.
Isn't that funny how your memory's like, London Fletcher tackled Derek Mason? No, it was neither of those two guys.
we were totally off.
It's neither of those two guys. All right. At least we got the Super Bowl and the teams right that much. All right. Sunday night.
I could probably give you the exact figure of what it cost me personally, too, but I'm not going to do that on the air either. Jimmy would tell you.
Wasn't that Super Bowl a push? Wasn't that 7 points?
It's a long story, but, I was at Cal Neva. I did the same thing that I do at South Point. We didn't use juice on numbers, so I went back and forth from 6.5 to 7. In the preseason, when Trent Green got hurt, and they brought in this guy who was loading groceries the week before, Kurt Warner, who I'd never heard of. I jacked up the price on them to win the Super Bowl, and of course I got flooded with it. And I was part owner of the Cal Neva at the time, and probably about 75% of my salary revolved around the wins and losses. So I know pretty much exactly what that non-touchdown cost me, and it was a lot.
A lot.
And I can sure use the cash today. I can tell you that.
Which differs from bunches, everybody, just in case you're scoring at home. A lot.
Yeah. It was bunches for Cal Neva, but my percentage probably hurt me more than it did those multi-millionaire owners. I can tell you that.
All right.
Anyway, next up. Good one. Packers at the Saints.
Packers at the Saints. Saints haven't played. They play tonight without Michael Thomas against the Raiders. And can I just stop for a second? It is the first game at Allegiant Stadium here in Las Vegas tonight. You've been here longer than I have been. Can we not let the moment pass without just sort of acknowledging what an amazing moment this is in the history of the city of Las Vegas? The fact that Vegas was shunned so openly for so many years by the establishment. And here we have legit professional football tonight. It's a huge moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, years ago, we weren't even allowed to advertise on the Super Bowl, or you couldn't have any casino-related anything in your, signs around the arenas for various states. And here we are now in Las Vegas, and we find out guys like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft, they own a piece of some of these, DraftKings and some of these other outfits. Yeah, I'd say it was warmly embraced, but it was a con job the whole way. It really was.
Totally
phony on their part, So, it's about time, but, it should have happened 50 years ago.
Total con job. Well said. So New Orleans.
Total con job.
Yeah, so New Orleans is playing tonight, and by the way, no Trent Brown for the Raiders either on the offensive line. And that, again, is 5.5 tonight. But it's Green Bay at New Orleans, so we don't have sight unseen here on the Saints. Rodgers yesterday for the Packers, just getting it done. 18 for 30 for 240. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Aaron Jones just filling up the stat sheet. 18 for 168 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. 4 catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown through the air. 488 total yards for the Packers. 259 were rushing. That's the most rushing yards the Packers have had in a game since 2003. And the Packers are the 8th team in the Super Bowl era to score at least 40 points in each of their first two games. But as I mentioned earlier, Devontae Adams' hamstring injury, we'll keep an eye on that in what was just the worst day for NFL injuries that I can remember. So it's Green Bay at New Orleans. We haven't seen New Orleans. The placeholder would be 3, I guess, on New Orleans. I don't know.
It's kind of 3.5 is what I see. I see 1-4 out there. I like your number better. I think we've been very quick to elevate Tampa Bay among the highest echelon of NFC teams. Are we slow to put Green Bay in that mix? I think maybe we are. I mean, let's not forget this team. They went to the NFC Finals last year, and they were outclassed, and they got beat. But, man, they're going to look back again and say, why did we not draft some help for this Aaron Rodgers? Because they really do have a very solid lineup. I think 3.5 is too high. I think 3 would be the high water mark for me. I'll open at 3.5 just because I don't want to gamble too much on the team that's playing tonight. If New Orleans goes in there and just blows away the Raiders, it's probably going to be closer to 3.5. Personally, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I think the Raiders are pretty live dog tonight. But I think this number is a little too high. I think Green Bay's a team. Listen, if the first 2 weeks is an indication, and oftentimes it is not, this team's going to be right in there till the end. He's a really, really good team, and Rodgers looks motivated, and he looks healthy, and he looks great, and the rest of the team looks terrific, too.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on Adams' injury. What's Monday night? Oh, I think
this is a good one.
I remember Monday night. I think I know. Yeah, this. Okay.
Yeah, this is a good one. Kansas City at Baltimore.
Not only is this a good one, this is the best matchup you could possibly have in the NFL for the entire season. Let's be honest. This is the game.
This is my highest rated team.
Yeah, this is it. I'm just going to say offhand before I even get into it, this is going to have to be Baltimore -3 because I don't think you can make this anything else. But Patrick Mahomes yesterday in the victory, the come-from-behind victory against the Chargers, and not once did Mahomes look phased in any way. 27 of 47 for 302, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. He did Kansas City's leading rusher. He was 6 carries, 54 yards. Tyreek, 5 for 99 with a touchdown. Travis Kelce, 9 for 90 with a touchdown. They did have 11 penalties, did the Chiefs, for 90 yards. Remember, Harrison Butker hits the 58-yarder earlier. Then in that final sequence, a 53-yarder, nullified by a false start. A 58-yarder, nullified by the icing. Not really nullified, but he just kicked it anyway. And then made the game-winning 58-yarder. In our lives, have we ever seen a dude just drill 53, 58, and 58 back-to-back-to-back like that? It's awesome. 11-game winning streak now for KC, including the postseason. Mahomes 9-0 in September. Listen to his September stats. 28 touchdowns, 0 picks career. Is that good? I'm told that's good. Baltimore, Lamar yesterday in Baltimore's win over Houston, and it was a 33-16 win as 7-point favorites. Lamar Jackson, 18 of 24 for 204, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. 16 carries, 54 yards. He led that team in rushing. Ravens gained 230 yards on the ground to Houston's 51. Actually, I don't know if Lamar led them in rushing. Let me check on that. But the Ravens gained 230 yards on the ground to Houston's 51. 186 yards rushing in the second half for the Ravens. Man, are they dominant when they're dominant. Baltimore's 14th straight win in the regular season, the longest streak in the NFL, since Carolina won 18 in a row back in 2014-2015. And we forget how great they are sometimes. And they are great. But it's got to be Baltimore -3, right?
It's actually 3.5.
You got to make that 3.
I'm going to open 3.5 just because I don't want to mess with it too much right now. And I have to tell you a couple things. But first of all, my ratings, the way I do my power ratings, I actually have Baltimore a little better than Kansas City, like 2 points better.
Yep.
Again, I don't know what to do with home field, but I got to tell you, I think 3.5 for me would be a take.
Yes,
you know?
Me too.
That looks a little too high to me. You know, Jackson is fantastic. I don't want to take anything away from him. But this Mahomes kid is just magic.
He is.
And I think up and down the lineup, I think Kansas City has a better lineup. And by the way, Harrison Butker, which was a major league coach on the sideline, a major league manager on the sideline, would have probably pulled Butker after the first two kicks because of a pitch count. So maybe I could have won that game.
That's right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think if it's 3.5, if it's 3.5, I probably take Kansas City. I really do.
Yeah,
as much respect as I have.
I mean, I see one 3 with a ton of juice, but I 3.5. Boy, that's I don't know. That extra hook looks very enticing.
All right,
very enticing to me.
We got 90 seconds here, Chrissy. So the 3 that I like the best though from today, Tennessee. I like them because I don't. You told me that was less than 3 points, fewer than 3 points against Minnesota. I will take that all day long.
Yeah,
Cincinnati was
2.5. Yeah,
you told me Cincinnati was getting, and I guessed, what did I guess? I guessed 3.5 in that game, I believe.
Yeah,
and then
it's 6.5.
Yeah, that's nuts. Wait, what's the no? You said I'm talking Tennessee. You said it was -1.5, right, against Minnesota.
There was some, but there's still, I see a 1.5 out there, but it's 2.5.
Still,
it's 2.5.
Give me Tennessee.
Cooler heads have prevailed.
Yeah, still give me Tennessee as long as it's under 3. Cincinnati, I guessed 4.5. You said it was 6.5 against the Eagles. I'll take those points.
Right.
I'm with you. I think Joe Burrow covers a lot backdoor this year. And then Seattle, if it's only 4 against Dallas, which I thought it would be because when you throw everything in Dallas, Cowboys publicly, public team like that. I like Seattle. Tennessee, Cincinnati, Seattle. How about you?
I like Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, the Jets in Seattle.
Okay. Jets are going to be tough to live through.
Hold your nose, bet the Jets.
Yeah. Chrissy, as always, we love you. Thank you. We couldn't do this without you. You're the man.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Chrissy Andrews, everybody. My mishpucha. Right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Guessing lines for week number 3.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.